All right, guys, another AFC East Championship. How would you rate this one among the other 10 they've had in the last 12 years?
It's the best because it's the latest, I guess.
Seventh.
Yeah.
I mean, they're clearly not as dominant as they've been in the past. I mean, obviously, when you go undefeated, that's a special one and you're winning. This is different. But, you know, I think Brady talked about the fact that they had to earn this one. You know, this was a, you know, they've lost these games in Miami in the past, and it's not supposed to be easy. You know, so, you know, that old saying, if it's worth it, you got to work for it. Well, they had to work for this.
And one more division game to go, Freddie, but 5-0, they've only gone undefeated one other time, and that was the 07 season when they went undefeated, obviously. So,
yep.
In that regard, as impressive as any.
And in that third quarter, when it looked like Miami might get the momentum swung their way, I think the Patriots' defense, particularly in the running game, stepped up and really, you know, thwarted a lot of good opportunities that Miami had.
Yeah, that's what I was most impressed with, because I thought for one of the rare times this season, the offense put the defense in some tough spots. And rather than, tuck their head and give up points, they forced an early field goal on that interception when, you know, the Dolphins really only moved the ball about 8 yards. And then in the third quarter that you talked about, Miami had been running the ball reasonably well, but in the third quarter they tried to run the ball 5 times, and I think they lost 4 yards. That put Tannehill in a lot of long yardage situations. They're not built for that. He's not built for that yet. And the Patriots' defense, despite, I think, at least once taking over, get onto the field, on their side of the field, just forced nothing but punts. And I thought that was a really good sign. Generally, when the Patriots' defense has come up with stops this year, it's been because of turnovers. On Sunday, it was because they were forcing 3 and outs and punts in general, and that's a really good sign.
On the other side of the ball, clearly early on, Tom Brady was a little bit off. And I think some of that was due to the Miami pass rush and the pressure that he was seeing coming from different directions. I think Miami had a good game plan going in, but the health of that Patriots offensive line has to be an issue.
And I think that starts with Sebastian Vollmer. You know, he goes out there and he works out pregame, and even some of the reports of how he looked pregame weren't great. You know, there were some questions whether he was going to play. You know, Cameron Wake owned him. In the beginning, it was power moves, just had him on roller skates. Other times, he beat him off the edge. That wasn't the only problem. There was some pressure elsewhere. They had some up the middle. You know, Misi got past Solder later in the game, but you know, this was a game, for as well as they had played, you know, Brady had been sacked once in 4 games, only hit 7 times total in 4 games. This was 4 sacks and 7 hits in one day. And, you know, they do that. Miami wants to do that. When you have Cameron Wake, you play to your strength. You're trying to get after a little bit. But I also thought some of that may have had to do with Patriots clearly wanted to throw the ball, but they were a little bit undermanned in trying to throw the ball. And you look, 31 attempts go to either Welker or Hernandez. They didn't really have all the weapons to go to. And even the two you had are kind of your two slot weapons. You were sort of limited in what you had to work with. And I think that maybe played a factor.
And I wonder if Vollmer's situation maybe, you know, factored in. They spent the whole week thinking Vollmer's fine and, you know, we're going to go in with his game plan. And then all of a sudden, pregame, you know, if he did, you know, like Andy said, you know, a lot of the tweets that we were getting pregame, maybe he tweaked something and all of a sudden you're stuck with that game plan. And, you know, all of a sudden Cameron Wake, I think, definitely had an impact on that. So, you know, maybe there was part of that. People have been wondering, well, why come in with such a game plan? You know, such a pass-heavy game plan. Well, maybe they didn't know that Vollmer was going to be a little bit physically subpar.
And clearly at the end, the offense did earn their piece of the pie. With that last drive, 8 minutes to go, a 7-plus-minute drive on the ground, you know, with the struggles that the offensive line had going up to that point, they still hunkered down and opened up holes for Stephen Ridley. That was impressive.
Yeah, I thought that that's exactly the way you want to, you know, kind of close up the game. And I don't care if it's running or passing, but I do care about that clock running. And like you said, Fred, over 8 minutes to go. By the time Miami got the ball back, they're down 10 points, and there's less than a minute left.
And having burned all their turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive. You know, to make them take all three of the timeouts, that's almost like a 9 or 10 minute drive if you add that in there. So, again, I don't care if it's running, passing, but you need to be efficient. You need to be effective, and they did that. And to see them do it with the game on the line, it was only a 7-point game. If they go 3 and out there, now suddenly Miami's in position to tie the game the way they did the week earlier at home against Seattle. Same kind of situation. They stopped Seattle, got the ball back, and went right down and won the game.
And on a day when they didn't
run, the Patriots didn't let it.
Right.
I mean, early on, you know, we talked about the imbalance, a lot of passing, not much running. But even when they ran, I think it was 7 carries for Vereen and Ridley, 10 yards, 11 yards. It hadn't come easy early in the day. Still, they had the confidence and the ability with the game on the line to do what they needed to do.
Well, that word confidence, you know, apply that to Stephen Ridley. What does that do for his confidence? They relied on me to tote the rock at the end of the game, didn't cough it up. You know, not that he has lately, but he's done a good job. But that must instill a lot of confidence that they were able, you know, willing to give him the ball in such a critical time.
And not only that they were willing to hand it over to him to tote the rock, as Freddie likes to say,
But yeah, all the kids are saying.
I think he only had 25 yards going into that drive. It's not like, well, this is a Ridley game. You know, it's like right. Buffalo right. Earlier in the year where they were running it all over the place.
There was no indication that that was going to happen.
None.
But there is a little bit in terms of his season and what he's developing into as a true lead back.
Oh, sure.
He goes over 1,000 yards on the day. Even back in the day with, you know, Antoine Smith, he would have plenty of games where he was not very good until they put a drive together late and say, okay, we got our horse, we got our guy to run the clock out. I think that's what you have with Ridley now, and it's what we've debated all year, the value of that, the value of having that ability. A lead back who you know is your lead back. That wasn't going to be Shane Vereen. That wasn't going to be Danny Woodhead. That was going to be Stephen Ridley given that opportunity, and B, having a guy capable of doing it behind an offensive line, by the way, that was not just Vollmer. I mean, you had both Cannon and McDonald at right guard because Conley goes down at right guard.
Right.
You still have Thomas at left guard. You don't even have your offensive line, and they still said, there's 8 minutes to go. We're going to run this game out because this is what we've been working for since the spring, to have a running game that was a complementary aspect of this team.
I talked a little bit last week about my concerns about the depth at wide receiver, and sure enough, Julian Edelman goes down with a foot injury and can't complete the Miami game. But I'm a little bit more worried about Edelman, the punt returner, than I am Edelman, the receiver. I really think he's given the offense a jolt. I think his returns have been excellent. He's given the Patriots a lot of good field position. And really, I don't think there's anybody else the Patriots have capable of doing that kind of damage in the return game. So while it is a concern to lose him as a wide receiver, I'm a little bit more worried about his impact on special teams. Over the last couple of seasons, I've sort of worried about Gerard Mayo and his ability to make plays. And the reason I've been worried about it is because he hasn't always been healthy. I wondered how much those knee problems that he's dealt with over those seasons had to do with the lack of plays. And I think we're finding out this year a lot because he has been very active. Tom Curran, I'm sorry to intrude on your territory here with your boy, but I've been very, very impressed with Mayo's ability to make plays, both in the passing game and in the running game. On Sunday, I thought back-to-back plays outstanding. One, to blow up that screen pass to Charles Clay near the goal line, and then a couple of plays later, he comes up with a delayed blitz and nails Ryan Tannehill for a huge sack in the red zone. This is the kind of impact Gerard Mayo can make, and clearly, he's healthy right now because he's made those plays all year. I'm going to move back to the secondary right now, and I want to talk about one guy who's really been under the gun all season. That's Kyle Arrington. I thought Sunday was the best game he's played by far this season, and I'm wondering if it's one of these deals where diminishing playing time has led to an increase in production. He's now the slot guy. You got Aqib Talib here, Alphonso Denner, they're playing on the outside. Kyle Arrington took Devon Best in the slot, and I thought he, again, turned in the best game he's played all season. I think with a little bit less reps and a little bit less exposure to those deep balls on the outside, I think you're seeing Arrington can provide a little something, and I thought he was outstanding against Devon Best.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Throwing heat, you're a pitcher?
Oh, yeah, I bring it. I haven't thrown a baseball in a long time, but I still think I could throw it pretty hard, though.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Okay, images of the week. And here we have next man up, Trevor Scott. I thought Gerard Mayo had a particularly strong game. Finally, special teams on a special day.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
We have Donald Thomas with us this week. Donald, obviously a huge game coming up Monday Night Football. Do you still get sort of jacked up to play a Monday Night game?
Yeah, you know, I get jacked up to play any game, but, you know, being that it's Monday night and it's going to be a big game out there, you know, I get ready all week for it.
Now, obviously, fans have been sort of waiting for this game to come along. Houston 11-1, top of the conference. What kind of challenges they present for you guys, specifically up front?
It's probably going to be one of the best fronts we'll see, you know, with two great interior pass rushers and J.J. Watt. He really poses, a huge problem for us, and we have to be able to, you know, match his intensity.
Okay, now as a former high school quarterback, I'm going to give you my theory on how you stop the batted down passes. Those arms go up, and I think that's a good time to give a little punch in the stomach. So if you get them, you know, you control them,
right.
I think you take all the wind out of them.
You know what? I think I'll take that coaching tip, you know? Sounds like a good one.
Can you sort of talk a little bit about your unique start to your college career? You had never played football. You were a baseball and basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like at UConn when you decided to give football a try?
You know, it was a brand new experience for me. I mean, I remember like my first day of going out there for practice and training camp. I never even put a helmet on or shoulder pads or anything. And I put my shells and I put them on backwards. I mean, I didn't even know how to put them on. And, you know, I just watched like the older guys and try to mimic everything that they did. When I got a chance to get in there, I just tried to do that to the best of my ability. You know, I had a great offensive line coach there, Mike Foley, that, you know, really worked with me and got me to, you know, become a decent player to make it to the next level.
And what was it like? You played baseball and basketball, as I mentioned. You have a preference on either one of those sports?
Baseball was always my sport. That was like my number one sport, you know. Growing up, I thought I was going to, you know, play for the Yankees growing up as a little kid. So, you know, play AAU and travel. And, you know, my parents spent dollars on watching me play and going all over the country. So that was like my number one sport.
You throwing heat? You're a pitcher?
Oh, yeah, I bring it. I haven't thrown a baseball in a long time, but I still think I could throw pretty hard, though.
The big game is finally here. It's home, Gillette Stadium, Patriots Texans, biggest game in the conference this year. And you look to the Patriots offense, the best plan of attack against a very good Texans defense is spread them and shred them. The problem right now is the depth and health issue with the Patriots receivers. Wes Welker, Aaron Hernandez were targeted 31 times of Tom Brady's 40 passes last week. That is too much of the offense. Patriots need another receiver to step up. Maybe it's Dante Stallworth. Maybe it's one of the other tight ends. But with Julian Edelman banged up, someone else needs to fill it out so Tom Brady can spread it out and take advantage of a suspect Texan secondary that's also banged up. For the Patriots pass offense to get its job done, the offensive line needs to be better. The unit struggled in Miami last week. Tom Brady had been clean for more than a month. Just one sack in four games, hit seven times total. Last week, four sacks, hit seven times in Miami. Sebastian Vollmer looked limited with his back issue. That's something to keep an eye on. But the biggest problem is J.J. Watt, making a run at NFL MVP as a rare defensive player. He can get to the quarterback in terms of sacks. He can stop the run. He can bat down passes. Nate Solder and company, huge challenge this week with J.J. Watt, a potential MVP. Flipping to the other side of the football in this huge AFC matchup, the defense, it's about the running game. While the Texans are balanced on offense, sure, Matt Schaub can get the job done. Sure, Andre Johnson is as hot as any receiver, but it starts with Arian Foster. Nine games with 20 or more carries, 600-yard efforts. Texans want to set up the play-action passing game with Foster. That means Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Brandon Spikes, they need to be better. Reggie Bush found too many openings last week, and in fact, in the last month plus, the run defense has been a little shaky. Can't happen this week against Foster.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Houston may be the best team in football. I think they may be the most well-rounded team in football.
No further questions.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
You know, when people think about teams in disarray and head coaches on the hot seat, the first thing I think about is the Jets and Rex Ryan. But there's another team, if you go south of 95, that's equally in disarray, and that's the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody thinks Andy Reid isn't going to be back, but despite that, they're making all kinds of moves. Announcing that Mike Vick isn't going to play for the rest of the season, surprise cut of Jason Babin, firing the defensive line coach. They're even poaching people off the Patriots practice squad. My question is, if Reid isn't going to be back, who's making these decisions? It's not Howie Roseman, the GM. I don't think he has that kind of power. That tells me that Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, is the one actually taking over football operations in Philadelphia. That's not always a good thing when the owner's making the football decisions.
Well, I didn't think it could get any worse for the Jets after Thanksgiving, but I was wrong. It could get worse. That performance on Sunday was absolutely pathetic. Mark Sanchez gets benched after three picks. And now word out of New York is Woody Johnson wants Greg McElroy. Rex Ryan wants Mark Sanchez. Mike Tannenbaum wants Mark Sanchez. But nobody wants Tim Tebow. What an absolute disaster, as they say in New York.
Supposedly playing quarterback in the NFL is the hardest position in the world. Except Andrew Luck and RG3 are proving it's just not. Two rookies coming in first and second picks and dominating the league. Andrew Luck has turned the Colts from number one overall pick to a playoff contender. RG3 may very well be the most exciting player in the NFL today, putting up huge numbers in terms of completion percentage, rating. He could lead the Redskins to a surprise playoff berth. Surprise to Mike Shanahan, by the way. And guess what? We get to watch this for the next 10, 12, 15 years. People always talk about the golden age of NFL quarterbacks. We're about to see two franchise quarterbacks in the primes of their career, and it's exciting in this day and age to watch guys who are so good so early and just think, what could be ahead?
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The iron of the Patriots' schedule is finally here with San Francisco and Houston on tap. Which one will be the tougher test?
I'm going to take this one literally and say the toughest matchup is the 49ers. Texans may be a more balanced team. You may have more issues with AFC, playoffs, all that crap. But the bottom line is the most physical team in football is the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to come in here, especially that defense, and they're going to try to beat you up. They're not necessarily worried about winning and losing. They're trying to hurt you. And that's a game that even if the Patriots win, they could lose. They could leave that game physically beat up.
Yeah, I think the Texans are the tougher test because I think they're the better football team. And I think they're the more well-rounded. I'll use your words. I think they have more balance. Balance offense, defense, balance on offense with passing and running. I think they have more ways to beat you than San Francisco does. I have a lot of respect for both of these teams. I'm certainly not going to take the 49ers lightly, but if you're asking me who the tougher test is, it's got to be Houston. They can do it a lot of different ways. To me, San Francisco only does it with defense.
And they only have to do it one way because they're going to come out and they're going to say, Wes Welker, you're going to dump that off, we're going to hit you. Aaron Hernandez, we're going to hit you. Tom Brady, we're going to hit you.
What, these guys never get hit before?
Not like they're going to get a hit in this game. This is the most physical team in the National Football League. There's no disputing that, in my opinion. They will make you hurt. They will make you hurt after every play. And that doesn't even take into account their skill. They have skill. They can run the ball on offense.
They do.
They can throw it a little bit. They have a new dimension in Kaepernick. And on defense, the pass rush, everybody talks about J.J. Watt. Well, you know, Alden Smith has more sacks, and he plays with a guy named Justin Smith. That's maybe one of the more formidable duos in the NFL based on power, speed, inside-out type moves. That is a massive challenge, and I'm not sure this offensive line is ready for it.
But if you're just going to talk about who's the more physical team, who's going to hit you harder, then, you know, that's one thing.
Maybe, Do you think this team is ready to play a team like that?
Why not?
Have they been prepared?
I think the Patriots have been a lot of different kinds of games this year, and they've generally fared pretty well. I don't think they've won them all. Obviously, they found a way to lose three games, but I think that they've won some big-time shootouts. They've won most recently, they've won a more low-scoring game.
What happened when Tom Brady got knocked around a little bit by the Cardinals?
Listen, there's no quarterback that likes to be knocked around a little bit, but I don't think there's any more chance of him being knocked around a little bit against San Francisco than against Houston.
I think they're a far better all-around front.
I think you're absolutely underselling Houston in terms of their ability
to
get physical. I think they're a very physical team.
Houston may be the best team in football. I think they may be the most well-rounded team in football.
No further questions.
But this isn't about that. I think the Patriots can match up against good teams. I think the Patriots can play skill to skill. I think the Patriots can play scheme to scheme, strength to weakness, those types of matchups. I'm not sure they're ready to play old man football, which is just strap it on, and I'm going to hit you harder than me. And also part of the problem is, for example, a guy up front that I think is ready for that type of game, Logan Mankins, probably isn't going to play. He's been hurt all season long. He is a guy that leads that sort of response against a team like San Francisco.
Yeah. And I think the Patriots can match. Which is the better team?
See, no, I disagree, because I think the Patriots can match everything that Houston's good at. Patriots have proven the ability to match. One thing they haven't proven this year, the ability to match getting punched in the mouth. They got punched in the mouth by Miami. They were in a dogfight. They got punched in the mouth up front by Arizona, and they lost the football game. That could happen again against the Niners.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
Okay, it's question time here on PSW TV. But first, as always, the Wilson Hart Power Index.
Fred, you'll be very happy this week. The Patriots moved up 4 spots. Now tied for number 3 with the 49ers. Houston stays at number 1, so setting up a nice Monday night football game between 1 and 3 in the rankings. Number 2 is the Falcons. The top 3 teams have qualified for the postseason. Interesting that the Broncos stay at number 9. They've also qualified for the postseason. A little bit
winning
of
didn't help them.
Well, you know, it's a numbers thing. You know, there's a lot of numbers that go into this. It's not just about winning and losing. And down the bottom, 3 teams that have been eliminated from the postseason contention are in the bottom 5. And the Chiefs, as we know, are pretty much have a lock on the number 32.
No, he does not have any.
Sounds like they got the bottom right.
All right, so then let's get to the questions. These are the ones that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. The first one comes from Sean McCleary. He says, would it be accurate to say that Aqib Talib got lit up by Brian Hartline, and should we be concerned about Talib?
I'm going to say lit up by Hartline, probably a little bit inaccurate, but concerned about Talib, I would say yes. I think that he struggled a little bit. I thought there were some opportunities for Hartline to make more plays than he actually did. I haven't been overly impressed with Talib in general in the 3 weeks. Now, initially, I wanted to give him a little bit of slack because, A, he's coming to a new team, and, B, he was coming off of basically 5 weeks of inactivity. So I'm not sure he was completely ready to go from a physical standpoint. But I haven't necessarily seen signs of the shutdown corner that we were sort of billed to be getting here. And that's something I do want to keep an eye on over the last 4 games.
Who said he was a shutdown corner?
A lot of people when he came here.
Talib will be fine. This next one comes from Steve Silva, and he says, do you think the Patriots will maybe put Daniel Fells on J.J. Watt to help out?
Oh, interesting question. Yeah, going into the Texans game, with obviously with the amount of pressure they can put on you up front, yeah, I think there'll be some extra help here. Regardless of where they put it, I think that they'll have a guy like Daniel Fells, I think, is perfect for that kind of situation. I don't think you want to leave J.J. Watt all by himself with anybody on a consistent basis. And I think what we've seen the Patriots do over the years, regardless of who it is specifically, they'll identify something they want to make sure doesn't disrupt the game, whether that's a linebacker or a cornerback or whatever. In this case, a pass rusher, I would be very surprised to see J.J. Watt just wreaking havoc all game long.
Right.
They'll make sure they do whatever it takes, and if it's double-teaming with Daniel Fells, they'll do that.
And the great part about Watt is he's good on the run, too. So it's not like you have to decide, okay, it's a pass play, we need to double-team him. He's second on their team in tackles. He's disruptive against the run. You need to double-team him at all times, basically. He's one of those guys that on every single play, 2 guys need to be assigned to him.
All right, good answer. All right, every week you can send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.